Welcome to the Fandom Podcast, episode 66. This is the show about the TV, movies, comics, and books that you love. Every week, we give you a little bit of geek news and then jump into the fandoms for discussion. I am Brandon Uscio, and I hope that you had a great Memorial Day weekend. Because of travel and some family time, we're not going to be recording a full episode this week, but we're going to reach back into our archives to one of our more popular episodes about Captain America, which is not only appropriate for Memorial Day, which is a day to remember those that gave of themselves to protect this country and our freedoms, but also because of some of the big news that has come out with Captain America actually being a Hydra agent this entire time. Personally, I feel that this is a stunt similar to the death of Superman and Doc Ock taking over Peter Parker's body, and it's just a matter of time before they reveal that not everything is as it seems. So everyone who's frothing at the mouth over this story, feel free to calm down and listen to this early episode of the Fandom Podcast, where Nate Caldwell and I talk about who Captain America really is, and then be sure to tune in next week when we talk about this and other things that fall into the category of nerd rage.
When Captain America throws his mighty shield, all those who chose to oppose his shield must yield. If he's led to a fight and a duel is due, then the red and the white and the blue will come through when Captain America throws his mighty shield.
All right, so we figured we'd talk about the most patriotic comic book character there is in Captain America. Marvel Comics, at the time, was actually called Timely Comics, released Captain America number 1 in 1941, and it was the iconic cover showing Captain America punching out Hitler, which the U.S. at this time was still neutral, hadn't entered the war. And even more important really than that is the fact that up to this point, no comic book character had debuted in their own first issue. Captain America was the first one to have his debut in his own title issue. You look back at some of the others, Superman was Action Comics, Batman was Detective Comics, Iron Man was Tales to Astonish, or one of those. I think Thor was Tales to Astonish, Iron Man was one of those other Marvel ones that, and that's what they do, is you'd get an issue that had two smaller stories, and that's where they would introduce these characters and build stories, and then as those characters got more popular and deserving of their own title, then they would put them into their own comic. And Timely Comics broke the mold by taking Captain America, who nobody had ever heard of, and throwing him into his own issue, and then on the cover having him punching out Hitler. And the first Captain America was Steve Rogers, and you know, volunteered for the Super Soldier program because he was too scrawny and too unhealthy to enlist, but had this deep patriotism and wanting to be there and wanting to fight for what was right. There's others, though, that have worn the mantle of Captain America over time. There's William Naslin, Jeffrey Mace, William Burnside, Bob Russo, John Walker, Sam Wilson, Isaiah Bradley, and James Bucky Barnes. So the mantle of Captain America has become bigger than just Steve Rogers, but he was the first, and that's usually who the comics go back to. The mantle usually ends up falling back to him. He's the one everybody knows. Some interesting things about his sidekick, though, Bucky. Marvel put Bucky in there because these comics eventually were going to soldiers who were fighting in the trenches on the front lines in Europe. And they wanted Bucky to be a character that those soldiers that were reading these in the trenches could look at and say, hey, that could be me. I could be Bucky. Bucky was just a regular person, a regular soldier that got teamed up, partnered with Captain America. So someone that regular soldiers could look at and be like, hey, this could be me. I could be going out on these adventures. And it really, Timely Comics, Marvel Comics, was doing this at a time when, you know, the world wasn't in a good place, and trying to just be a morale booster to soldiers on the front lines, and that's who they target it to. So I think probably talk about at least Bucky in his time as Captain America, and then with more recently Sam Wilson. So
yeah, well, just real quick, one of the things that I find really interesting about the mantle of Captain America and a lot of these incarnations, a lot of them were only actually incarnations for like one or two issues before things happened. Like you said, it keeps falling back to Steve Rogers. Bucky was definitely a notable one that was Captain America for a while. But some of them were, you know, something happened to Steve Rogers, so he was gone for a little bit. Or, you know, one issue, two issues. There was one even that the Red Skull had kind of planted in there to discredit Captain America. And all the time they were appointed, they always have a Captain America. And I think, personally, I think that's because Captain America stands for a lot more than just a superhero, an American soldier. It stands for an ideal. an ideal that you can't kill. So even if it's gone, even if the person who was in that one before is gone, there's still going to be a Captain America because you can't kill the American ideals. Some can argue that they have changed over time, but our whole world has changed over time. But Captain America is, he's always there, not because we're just picking somebody new, but because we actually, because he's always there inside of each of us to some extent in his and those morals that he stands for. You mentioned Bucky Barnes, how he picked up the mantle for a little bit.
Yeah, there was, after the Civil War incident, there was the death of Captain America, and, you know, and then of course he didn't stay dead, but Bucky, having been his sidekick and then had come back as Winter Soldier and then got through all that brainwashing stuff to become one of the good guys again, was the next choice to be the mantle, to be Captain America. And then even after he learned that Captain America was still around, Steve Rogers still said, no, you know what, you need to be Captain America still, and because he had other things going on. But so he did it with the blessings of Steve Rogers.
Yeah, and I find it interesting. A lot of times Steve Rogers was doing things under his own civilian identity of Steve Rogers and not Captain America. And because he had those responsibilities, he left the mantle with Bucky, who, you know, he was there with him from the beginning, and he was just a normal guy. So Bucky Barnes, he had, and that, this is a lot of what the current comic book, the MCU, is pulling their story from, was this storyline where ultimately Bucky becomes Captain America. So a lot of people have speculated that in the movies, Steve Rogers is going to die, and that the Winter Soldier will, Bucky Barnes, will become Captain America on that one.
Yeah, so the current Captain America right now, which is hard to say because Secret War is going on, there's a lot, but before Secret War started, was Sam Wilson. And Steve Rogers got caught in a time stream thing and came back, and now he was too old to be still a superhero and doing superhero things. And so he passed it off to Sam, which was the Falcon, and for a long time was Captain America's partner. They had the long-running series, Captain America and Falcon. But it caused a lot of controversy when it first announced that Captain America was going to become black, which kind of bothered me, but because of people just not understanding that it wasn't that they were changing and Steve Rogers was now going to be black, but the mantle of Captain America was passing to Sam Wilson, which was totally fitting. Sam Wilson's totally deserving of it, and he still kept his Falcon wings and still flew, just changed his costume color scheme to match that of Captain America, and then had the shield with him. And reading the series, I thought they did a good job with Sam as Captain America and him kind of struggling with having been an established hero, but then realizing that he wasn't replacing Steve Rogers, that he was taking on the mantle of Captain America and what that meant.
Yeah, you know, I find it really interesting. Our society, with pop culture, especially with TV shows, with movies, we're so used to constantly being rebooted and reset and remade and retconned that it's really, the comics are really a unique kind of a media where there's actually a story that happens behind it. And there is a reason. If I had to liken comic books to any other type of media entertainment out there, I would probably more closely relate it to soap operas, for better or worse. I think there's a lot of soap opera-esque in there because the story just keeps going and going and it changes, and there's always a reason that one thing goes from A to B, but you might have to, it might actually be going from A to Z, and there's a whole chain of things happening there. My wife has one soap opera that she watches, and her mom watches, and her grandma watches, and so I pick up little snippets of it here and there, and I'm like, wait a minute, wasn't that person married to this other person? Wasn't that person dead? And my wife will be like, well, you know, evil twin, and survived a plane wreck by living off the land, you know, just all sorts of crazy stuff. But, you know, that happens in comic books, too. So I learned that I can't give her a hard time about her soap operas. And she's learned that she can't give me a hard time about my comic books because the stories are so complicated sometimes. Oh, that was actually something that, you know, would you recommend a new reader? Because I haven't been reading the Sam Wilson stuff. Could you recommend a new reader jumping in with Sam Wilson as Captain America?
The actual Captain America title, I would say yes. The Captain America and the Mighty Avengers was, there was all the stuff that had gone on with Red Skull and Axis. And so he didn't really even get a chance to establish himself as, you know, the Captain America Avenger before they were all flipped and doing bad things and good guys were bad and bad guys were good. And I just didn't like the way Captain America and the Mighty Avengers was going. And
Axis kind of messed up a lot of things.
So, and that's, you know, I'm a huge Marvel fan, but lately Marvel kind of, like, they're dropping comics and releasing comics right before these events that shape everything. And it's screws up what's going on in these titles, and that's a whole nother rant. But you mentioned, though, about like Captain America, though, and his ideals and what he stands for. And I'm not going to quote it because it's kind of long and I don't want to bore everybody, but look up his Captain America speech from Civil War. And because in Civil War, he is going against the government, but because he feels that the government isn't staying to the ideals. And he gives a speech to Spider-Man that just, it's a powerful speech. It's well written. It's, even though it's a comic book, and some people, you know, you tell them it was a comic book and they want to scoff at you. Like, these writers are legitimate writers, and what they wrote for that one is very powerful.
Yeah, it is a very powerful. I've seen it on social media a bunch, actually. I'm going to paraphrase it, but we're going to put it in show notes. And I really recommend, do not go off of my paraphrasing, because it is much more powerful than I'll make it. Because I actually did want to talk about this point, this one as well, was that Captain America tells Spider-Man, if you know that something is right, it doesn't matter what the rest of the world is telling you, you stand your ground. When somebody tells you to move, you turn around and tell them, no, you move. Because, and that's one of the things I love about Captain America, is it doesn't matter what your ideology is. Because right there, that is very politically charged. But it could be something that somebody on the left can associate with, and somebody on the right. It's not, he's not Captain Republican or Captain Democrat. He's Captain America. And I hope that we all can learn from that. Because either side can actually look at that and realize, no, I need to stand up for my values. And, you know, maybe your values are making America run better, and that means you compromise, but doesn't mean that you move left and right, and doesn't mean that you waffle on it. You do what's best for America. For a four-issue series in Captain America, I want to say 180 to 184, Captain America actually drops the mantle of Captain America. He disagrees. He finds out that a high-ranking government official is actually a leader of a terrorist group. And this was back in the 70s, I want to say, when this came out. And he realized that the government doesn't always necessarily do the American thing. It might be the American government, but it is not always the American ideal. And he drops the Captain America mantle and becomes Nomad for a few issues. And this is when we see a couple of the other Captain Americas pop up. Because even though it was just a couple issues, you cannot let Captain America disappear. And so other Captain Americas were appointed. So that's kind of a brief history of him and his mantle. If you had to pick your favorite Captain America, Nate, because, you know, for those of you who may just be listening to us for the first time, Nate is actually a soldier in the National Guard. He has a deep connection to Captain America, far deeper than mine ever has been, because to me, he's a comic book character, and something to think about, not necessarily something to strive to be. If you had to pick a favorite Captain America, which one would you pick?
Yeah, so this is, like you said, there's a lot of people who've had the mantle of Captain America, but then in the comics, you've also had, you know, the original run, you've had the Ultimates universe, the 90s, they kind of relaunched everything with Rob Liefeld drawing him. And
lots of pockets and muscles and no feet.
Yeah, but it's, so I mean, there's been some different takes on him. There's the movies, which have been from the cheesiest, where he's kind of more like a beach bum surfer in a van, to the recent incarnations, which I have to give Chris Evans credit. He has done a very amazing job. But my favorite version of Captain America would be the way they wrote Steve Rogers in the cartoon Earth's Mightiest Heroes. Because I think they did a good job of embodying what it meant to be Captain America, and for him to, where he's, you know, he joins the team after they've already kind of formed, and, you know, Iron Man's the team leader, and so is the good soldier he follows. And, but later on, like, as the series goes on, like, even Iron Man starts to realize that, like, Steve's the better one suited to lead the team. He really good. There's, you know, there's an episode where at the beginning, Hawkeye's trying to make this shot in their training room, and there's all these spinning things, and Iron Man's betting against him, and they're all kind of, you know, saying stuff like, oh, it's an impossible shot, and, oh, you're not that good, and one of them, you know, says, what do you think, Cap? And he's like, I haven't seen you miss yet, I don't expect to now. And just those kind of statements are what, you know, there's one where aliens are attacking the city, and Hulk's, you know, kind of feeling like Hulk, and feeling like he gets treated as the monster, and as the enemy, and nobody sees him as the hero. And so why should he help out? And Captain America looks at him and says, I've seen you time and time again put your life on the line to save other people. In my book, that makes you a hero. And just those lines that they gave him in that writing, to me, is what Captain America is.
So more the inspirational leader and more the person who helps people to achieve their full potential. I like that a lot. When you were saying your things, it made me think a lot about the Avengers, the first Avengers movie, when they are in New York. And all along they've been fractured and come back together. But Tony Stark has kind of been the de facto leader. You know, he's paying for everything. He's getting everyone together. He's got the plans. But they're in New York, and they turn everything over to Cap and say, tell us what to do. When it comes down to it, Captain America is that guy who's going to save the day and keep a calm, level head and get everybody, not just save the day by himself, but get everybody to work in a team effort to save the day. It's a real funny scene where he's telling the police officers, okay, you do this and you do this and you do this. And they're like, why should we listen to you? And then he just, you know, he helps save their lives essentially. And all of a sudden they're just inspired to follow him. So, you know, I can't say anything better than what Nate said about who Captain America was. And it's a real shame that they decided that they wanted to merge a lot of their TV and MCU stuff, or else we'd probably see quite a bit more of that Captain America. I watched some Avengers Assemble, but it's, you know, like what you're saying, it's not quite the exact same. It's not that same Captain America. All right, for this next topic, for this next patriotic topic, comic book topic, Captain America topic, just the other day on the 4th of July, I threw out to the Salt Lake Comic Con group a question, and we had a great turnout from them. The question that I asked was, let me actually read the exact question instead of the paraphrased one I have here. The question that I asked Salt Lake Comic Con was, hey guys, why do you think that DC doesn't have a patriotic superhero like Captain America? Or who do you think that their most patriotic superhero is? And if you think about Marvel and DC, they have a lot of characters who are exact analogs. You know, you have Batman and Moon Knight. You have, help me out here, Nate, my mind's just going blank. Who are some of those analogs?
You've got Aquaman and Namor. You've got Green Arrow and Hawkeye. You've got Flash and Quicksilver. You've got Superman and, now I can't
think. Hyperion.
Hyperion, yeah. Who, yeah, basically is the, like,
the exact
even
same.
Marvel would admit, yeah, we pretty much copied Superman. Like
Deadpool and
Deathstroke.
Deathstroke, yeah. Who it's, I don't think that Marvel has ever officially announced that they copied him, but it's Slade Wilson and Wade Wilson. Just saying, there's a little bit of similarities there.
Yeah, the writer who came up with the idea for Deadpool pretty much has said that, yeah, he took the idea from DC's release of Slade Wilson. But
so some of the comments that I got here in the Comic-Con group were, and right off the bat we had people commenting. It just took minutes for people to start commenting on this. We had people say, technically speaking, Superman's pretty patriotic. That was Savannah Davidson. We had Deanna Shea post a picture of Wonder Woman saluting in front of a flag. But when you think about it, you know, Wonder Woman, yeah, she may have some stars and some stripes and have some red, white, and blue on her, and Superman's got some red and blue. In the comments, Jake Ainsworth says, Wonder Woman has the stars and stripes and the most patriotic costume. Though if you read the comics, you know that this happens to actually be a tribute to Diana Trevor and Steve Trevor, who are both American Air Force pilots, and that Wonder Woman is an Amazon from Greek mythology. It's really kind of funny. The best and most analogous DC characters to Captain America is an illegal immigrant, or an illegal alien in every sense of the term, alien, and a Greek goddess. So I found that kind of interesting. Nate, what do you think about it?
Yeah, so I was reading through some of the comments, and, like, I don't want to knock people that, you know, fans of Superman and Wonder Woman, and someone brought up a lot of other really minor characters that, you know, and I admitted a Marvel more than a DC. There are some characters that I didn't know because I'm not that deep into DC. Superman, Wonder Woman, they're not what Captain America is. They didn't, you know, volunteer for a process so that way they could go fight in a war. They don't embody the flag. They don't represent, you know, America specifically. You know, everybody talks about that Superman's tagline used to be truth, justice, and the American way. But really, since the 90s, he's become more global in the Justice League. And Justice League headquarters isn't even on Earth. It's up in a space station orbiting Earth so that way they can respond globally. And, you know, to me, Wonder Woman, where, I mean, yeah, she embodies a lot of what we should strive to be as Americans, and just as people in general, but she's an Amazonian princess. She's from Greek mythology. She's not a true-blooded American. You know, she had her role in the comics of involvement in World War II stuff. I think the reason DC never had somebody that is impactful in the way that Captain America was is because Marvel set their universe in the real world, in New York, in DC. They were taking on real world issues, taking on living, you know, Spider-Man, the X-Men, Daredevil, Moon Knight, Avengers Tower, all in New York City. You got Avengers West Coast in LA. You've got.
So what you're saying is DC hates America?
No, I'm saying that, that DC created Gotham City and Metropolis and Starling City.
Which are not even American
Central
cities.
Central City. They created a world that had these American feel. You know, Metropolis has this, you know, Smallville, this Midwest feel. Gotham City's kind of a take on like a really just dark New York, the Metropolis. But they didn't set their characters in real life cities. And so I don't think for them, like, they had a reason to have a Captain America because they didn't really have established their universe that way.
Yeah, you know, some of the people who commented on this, Kyle Peterson was a big example. He posted like Uncle Sam and Arnaldo Pereira. I slaughtered your name. I'm sorry about that. He talked about General Glory and Liberty Bell, but you know, those characters are not quite exactly like Captain America. Yes, they have patriotic themes to them. But they do not, they don't have, they're not the A-lister status that Captain America has always been when he has been in the comics. There have been hiatuses from Captain America in the mainstream appeal, but Captain America, I mean, you look at him now, he is definitely an A-lister. The one that I'm going to disagree with you on, though, Nate, is Superman. And part of it's disagreeing because if we just agreed about everything on this podcast, it would just be really boring. And part of it is disagreeing because of some of the things that I've been raised to believe in. I'm not going to argue the fact that Superman is not analogous to Captain America in as much as he's not wearing a star-spangled banner on his cape, and it's not draped across his chest like Captain America. But what I, and you know, even truth, justice, and the American way, that's not even my argument. My argument is that, and it's just like you mentioned, so I know we're on the same page on this, is that patriotism is a lot more than just flag waving. It's a lot more than the clothes you wear and the name that you have. It's the fact that Steve Rogers volunteered his body for an experiment that very well could have killed him to protect his country. And Clark Kent has given up so many things in his life, and Superman for his country. It's not about where you were born. It's about those ideals that you hold. You know, and the reason why I think about it like this is I'm of Japanese ancestry. I'm fourth generation in America, but I've read my grandma's journals where she's talked about the attack on Pearl Harbor and about the day that her father went into the city hall because the police wanted to ask him some questions. They needed an interpreter, and he was a very well-respected businessman. And when people saw that he went into city hall, they basically went out to protest saying, K is not a enemy, let him go. They thought he was going to be interned. My grandma said that, you know, being American is much more than the way you look. It's a feeling inside of yourself. And I'd say that's the same thing for patriotism. That great-grandfather that I just spoke of, we've got a family story that we talk about a lot where, you know, he came to America from Japan and set up his business and then sent away for his wife. His family, his dad was basically the mayor of where he was from in Japan. They owned a shipbuilding company. And he came here to America and set up his own business. And he sent back for his bride, and she came back later. And anyone who knows about Japanese culture knows that, you know, Japanese women of that time period would spend a lot of time making their own kimonos. And lots of money and silk and all sorts of stuff went into it. They get into the San Francisco Bay, and he takes the trunk that has all of her kimonos in it and throws it overboard and says, "We are in America now. We are going to dress as Americans. We are going to speak English." You know, named their kids Jerry and Dorothy and Tony. And, you know, it's very, you know, he sacrificed a lot. He could have had a comfortable life over in Japan, but he sacrificed to become an American. And, you know, Clark Kent and Superman, he had no world to return to. But with his powers, he could have ruled the world. There have been so many alternate universes in DC where Superman has become a tyrant and decided to rule the world. He could have had that, but he didn't. He gave up and he sacrificed to be that moral compass. And when people start talking about, well, yeah, he's not doing truth, justice in the American way anymore, A lot of times it's in reference to Superman 900, where there was a protest in the Middle East, and Superman, to show his support, flew over there, nonviolent, didn't fight, he just stood with the protesters in Iran. And when he came home, the fake president, because we've established this in the real world, the national security director came to him and said, "You can't do that. Now Iran thinks that America was behind it." And so Superman goes to the UN that next day and renounces his U.S. citizenship because he wants to be the moral compass without being entrenched in politics, without being seen as tied to the American government, which is a lot what Steve Rogers does when he becomes Nomad in 76, a lot what he does when he basically destroys S.H.I.E.L.D. in the movies. So I would say that Superman, he is giving up, he loves this country, he's fought for truth, justice, and the American way. It's his home. It's the only home he's ever known. But he gives it up so that he can help spread those values and those morals, be that moral compass. And so he's sacrificing the home that he's known his entire life to help spread that morality that he's learned from the home that he grew up in. So he's patriotic, but he's not wearing stars and stripes. I'll give you that one. But does that change your mind at all on Superman, or are you just like, no, this Superman is not patriotic?
I'm not saying he's not patriotic. I'm just saying he's not, like, if he's the closest DC has to a Captain America, then they don't have a character like Captain America. And it's like the ones that the Liberty Bell and Uncle Sam and them, like, I see names like that, and to me they're the equivalent of Marvel's Freedom Force that a lot of people don't know about. That there's a group of characters that, you know, everybody knows Captain America. A lot of people don't know the characters that make up Freedom Force, and so they're B-listers the same as Liberty Bell and Uncle Sam and some of those others. But to me, you talked about the alternate universes and stuff, you know, and both Marvel and DC have had their alternate universes. But in every alternate universe, Captain America is still, in one way or another, still Captain America. Superman has been Uberman, like the champion for Russia. He's been a world conqueror. Like, if he was really that character to be their Captain America, to be their representation of patriotism, their American ideal, then he wouldn't be written in alternate universes as being the champion for Russia or is a world conqueror or things like that. Because to me, that shows that DC doesn't have someone like Captain America, in the sense that every way, like, anybody who's ever written Captain America, alternate universe stuff, whatever, still feels that they need to keep Captain America in that ideal of being the representation of America.
So I will disagree with that on a little bit, but it is such a minor point that it's not really a disagreement. I know that I have read one, basically a what if story, a spinoff, where they did a Captain America. He was still in America, I'll give you that. He wasn't some other country, but he basically decides to become the dictator of America. I know in the Ultimates line, he becomes the president and has some not so patriotic views at certain points, but that's, you know, that's not what I'm talking about. It was like a one or two issue thing, you know, and so the argument could be made that just because the Marvel writers didn't have the creativity to say, well, what if he was Captain France instead of Captain America? I don't know. Do you know? I want to say that I've read also that, like, basically a Captain Corps where, like, Wolverine is Captain Canada, and
I know Superhero Squad did that.
Maybe that's where I've seen it.
They made Wolverine become Captain Canada, and there's probably a small story where they stole that from. But, you know, it's like I said, though, it's even if he's, you know, he hasn't stepped outside of whether it's the dictator of America or the president or these alternate universes, they didn't write him as, you know, he said Captain France or the communist version of, you know, he's always been that American.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to ask you a question then. If Captain America is that good and that amazing, why couldn't he lift up Mjolnir in the Avengers Age of Ultron?
Because as they hinted at and alluded to with the stuff with that Scarlet Witch shows him and then him and Tony Stark's talk, is that being that soldier, like, he has killed people, he has done things, you know, that he, you know, may have been, you know, wartime things or whatever, but like when Tony says to him, "I don't trust a man who doesn't have a dark side," and then he Cap rips the wood in half and says, you know, "You just haven't seen it yet." Like, I think there's some things that they haven't explored yet, but they've set up with Captain America. I think he feels guilty about the stuff with Bucky and some things that, you know, and that's the MCU's take on it, because I think it was actually in Civil War. One of the end things was him picking up Mjolnir and yelling, "Avengers assemble." So he has been worthy in the comics to lift it.
Well, yeah, but an elevator could lift it.
But I don't know, why do you think he couldn't lift it then?
So I think, and this goes back to a fan theory that I've read, and we'll get links to that in the show notes. And it's a lot of what you had mentioned. It ties off of the Scarlet Witch visions. But so Scarlet Witch showed everybody their biggest fears. Thor got a different kind of zap, but I'm going to assume that's because he's Asgardian and has magic and all that stuff. But Captain America, his biggest fear was that the war was over, that there were no more battles to fight. And theoretically, like Tony said in Age of Ultron, isn't the whole goal to end that and to not have to fight and to be able to go home? And so Thor, when he was not able to lift the hammer, it was because he had basically bloodlust, because he was fighting to fight because he wanted to fight, not necessarily fighting for the right causes. And so once he learned to fight for the right causes, then he became worthy to lift that hammer. So Captain America is fighting because he knows nothing else, and he's not fighting because this war's just or that war's just, but because he has to fight. Like, he's getting close. I loved the look on Chris Hemsworth's face when Captain America was picking it up. He did a great job on that, because it budged a little bit, and then all of a sudden, he's just like, oh my gosh, did I just give Asgard to Captain America? Because he almost moved it. He almost picked it up in the movies. And I know that he's picked it up a lot in the comics, and there have been actually several people to pick up the hammer in the comics, and I think it really just depends on your worthiness at the time, on why you're fighting your battles, and why you need to lift Mjolnir.
Okay, I think this is a good place to end the look back that we had on Captain America. Be sure to tell us what you think about this new storyline over at fandompodcast.com/contact or facebook.com/fandompodcast, and we will make sure to include your thoughts in our episode next week. Until next time, may the fandom be with you.